A very good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for ESG Quarter 2 earnings call. On this call, I am accompanied by the senior team members of the bank. The Quarter 2 performance of the bank has been extremely encouraging, especially when seen in the backdrop of industry-wide challenges, particularly in the form of persistent headwinds to deposit acquisition, as well as heightened stress in the unsecured segment. I would like to draw your attention to page 4 and 5 of our investor presentation, where we have highlighted our consistent outperformance to the industry in deposit growth, which is even more stark in the case of current account and savings account deposits. Similarly, despite the heightened stress levels in the unsecured segment, there has been a sustained improvement in our asset quality parameters. Moreover, it is important to highlight that this outperformance is not just recent, but has been persistent over the last 4 to 6 quarters. Before diving into the details of our quarter two results, I would summarize our performance through following few data points. The bank yet again delivered highest quarterly profit since reconstruction of 553 crores, which is up 146% and 10% sequentially. The bank maintained its ROA at 0.5% for the third consecutive quarter, which compares to 0.2 reported in quarter 2 of FY24. It is extremely encouraging that this net profit growth has been driven by healthy operating profit growth of 22% YOY and 10% on sequential basis. The deposit growth momentum continues with 18% YOY and 5% quarter-on-quarter growth. CASA ratio improved 260 basis point YOY and 120 basis point quarter-on-quarter to 32%. While the current accounts have grown 26% YOY and 11% quarter-on-quarter, the savings bank deposits have grown 30% YOY and 7% on quarter-on-quarter basis. This aided the bank in maintaining the cost of deposits, cost of funds, as well as net interest margins stable on a sequential basis. Decline in the outstanding amount of restructured accounts at 2,100 rupees, which is now only 0.9% of advances and down from 2.2% in quarter 2 last year and 1.6% in quarter 1. Thank you. well within our guidance range. I would also like to highlight that the growing strength in our franchise is receiving external validation through credit rating upgrades over the last two quarters. During quarter two, CRISIL and CARE have upgraded the ratings on our BEST 3 TA2 bond and the infrastructure bond to A+ from CARE. We have also made two key senior appointments in our management team during the quarter. In line with our strategy to improve profitability in the retail asset segment, we have appointed Mr. Sumit Wali as the head of the retail asset and debt management. We have also hired Mohit Mehta as the retail collection head, and Mr. Meerav Dalal has been appointed as head of financial markets. Now I would like to cover the key performance highlights of our quarter two performance, presuming that many of you might have already gone through our detailed which was reported some time back. For quarter two, and treasury income further improved to 1.3% for quarter as compared to 1.2% last. Normalizing for PSLC cost, 11% on YOY basis and only 2% on sequential basis. In quarter two, the bank has once again achieved nil PSL shortfall in the overall requirement as well as various subcategories. We remain on track to start seeing a reduction in the stock of aggregate deposits made in lieu of PSL shortfall starting second half of the FY25 itself. This balance is targeted to reduce below 5% of our total assets over the next 3 years. The bank reported a pre-provision operating profit of 975 crores for quarter two, which is up 22% YOY and 10% quarter on quarter. The salient highlights pertaining to asset quality, slippages, recoveries, and the provisioning. They are like gross NPAs ratio at 1.6, improved from 2% in quarter two last year and 1.7% in the quarter one. Net NPA ratio at 0.5% in comparison to 0.9 in the quarter two last year and at the similar levels compared to quarter one. Resolution momentum continued during the last quarter with recoveries and upgrade of 1,021 crores during the quarter, including 258 crores of gross recoveries from security receipts. Cumulative recoveries and resolution in the first half of FY25 have aggregated to 2,600 crores. NPA provision coverage ratio was 70% against 67.6 last quarter and 56.4 in quarter two.
non-tax provision cost for quarter two at 297 crores, and as a percentage to average assets, it stood at 0.3% on annualized basis. This was lower by 41% on YoY basis. Gross leverage at 1,314 crores against 1,263 crores in quarter two last year and 1,204 crores in quarter one of this year. Slippage ratio as percentage of advances is at 2.2% against 2.4% in quarter two last year and 2.1% in the previous quarter. Our balance sheet has registered a YoY growth of 14% and CD ratio improved to 84.8% from 89.2% in quarter two last year and 86.6% in quarter one of this year. Robust accretion continued in deposits, growing at 18% YoY and 5% quarter on quarter. CASA ratio, as covered earlier, came in at 32% as compared to 30.8% in quarter one and 29.4% in quarter two last year. CASA balances at the end of quarter two has grown by 29% YoY and 9% quarter on quarter, while the current account deposits have grown 26.2% YoY and 11.1% quarter on quarter. The savings bank deposit have grown 30.5% YoY and 6.6% quarter on quarter. The average daily balance for current account and savings account registered similar growth on YoY basis. Now, advances growth is 12.4% YoY. In our strategic objectives, SME and mid-corporate advances continue to grow at a faster pace of 26% each on YoY basis. Continues to 22% YoY and 5% quarter-on-quarter. The retail is flattish on YoY basis and marginally lower on quarter-on-quarter basis. I would like to draw your attention to page 41 of our investor presentation, where we have provided total volume growth. If you notice, there has been differential growth across products. This has been on account of a couple of interventions. Firstly, as we have been stating, we are optimizing our product and sourcing mix to improve profitability of our retail asset portfolio. As a result of this, you can see higher growth rates in products such as affordable home loans, used car loans, credit cards, etc. The PSL contributing products are also registering high growth rates, such as rural banking and ISB, which is our MFI portfolio. The second intervention is based on our risk assessment in certain segments, geographies, and products, where we have tightened the underwriting parameters to ensure better selection as well as lower the impact of ongoing stress in the industry. As a result of this, you can see that there has been a slowdown in growth of products such as personal loans. It is important to highlight that the second kind of intervention is more transitory in nature and will be reviewed on frequent basis based on prevailing conditions. The bank's average quarterly LCR for quarter two remained healthy at 132%. PCR now stands at Now, bank's CET ratio stood at 13.2% with total capital adequacy at 16.1%. This is despite the risk-weighted assets increase in select portfolio such as MFI. As I conclude, let me reiterate that Yes Bank's core franchise has now gained significant momentum, and this strength is now enabling the bank to successfully navigate the various headwinds currently prevalent in the industry. We remain confident in our progress towards building a franchise which delivers superior returns to our stakeholders. Lastly, I would like to take this opportunity to wish you for the upcoming festival season. On behalf of the Yes Bank family, I wish all of you a very happy and prosperous season. With this, we can now take your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Sige Rama Subareddy, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. And other in the call. So I've been individual investor of S Bank last 4 years before SBI taking over from last previous management. So here my question is like, you know, we are like delivering the good numbers like every quarter, every year on year basis. Despite all the good performance showing S Bank, there is no significant growth in the S Bank share price. May I know what kind of actions are being taken by management side? That is my first question. And second question, as mentioned by the new management, after 3 consecutive years of the profit, we will be announcing the dividend. But somehow last year it has been, you know, not given to the shareholders. Maybe is it planned in the next year or how it is, if you could address. So, and third question is like basically from Japan and Dubai, some big banks are going to buy the stock. And because of that, we can see that last couple of, you know, year to date, S Bank share is performing down. So maybe if you could address these 3 questions, it would be helpful for the individual investors as a retail investor. Yeah.
So first of all, thank you so much for taking time out and participating in this investor call. Responding to your first question, I think we don't comment in terms of the movement on the stock prices. We as a management team strongly believe that we need to focus ourselves in terms of sustained and continuous the performance both in terms of business as well as the profitability of the bank. And if you have taken note, that bank has been able to deliver both in terms of business growth and the profitability on a continuous basis, which is moving upward in the right direction. And we would continue to do this. Your second question in terms of dividend after 3 years of profitability. We as a bank have a dividend policy approved by the board, and the board would continue to evaluate whenever we find it appropriate to distribute dividend to our shareholders. But at the same time, I would like to reassure you that we as a management team would continue to work in terms of optimization of return for all our stakeholders. Your third question, pardon me, but I think this conference call is limited on the basis of the performance of the quarter two of the bank. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request that you please limit your questions to two per participant. You may rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. We have the next question from the line of Param Subramanian from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is on the margin profile. As we know, I think the broader outlook for interest rate is probably downward from here. So in that context, you know, considering we have a lower margin profile than our peers and currently a lower, you know, overall operating profitability, what measures will we be looking at to, say, improve or sustain this margin in the context of, say, moderating rates? That's question one.
So why don't we just complete the list of questions and we'll take all of them.
Yeah. Secondly, on the retail book, I can see, you know, we have, you know, a decent chunk of, say, unsecured retail, credit cards, personal loans. So how is that book holding up, you know, at present? Some color on that would be great. Yeah, that's it from me.
Okay, thank you, Param. On the margin profile, so the current at 2.4%, I think it's important to first understand that there is one big drag that comes from the RIDF assets that we are holding in view of the PSL shortfall of the past. That's almost 11%. Of our total assets, and currently on a pro forma basis is pulling down the margins by almost 70 basis points. So as the proportion of these assets keeps reducing over time, you know, we've also indicated that by March 27, we expect this proportion to come well below 5% from the current 11%. You know, which will of course add to margins for the bank. That's point number one. The second point you mentioned was on as we kind of look at a reducing interest rate backdrop. You know, I think just from a matching of the assets and liabilities from interest rate perspective, I think we believe that we are fairly matched. However. As we kind of start seeing interest rates coming down, it is possible that you will see some lead and lag in terms of the pricing. So it is possible that your, let's say, repo linked advances get repriced immediate, and some of the deposits may not get repriced immediately. But I think just given the broad combination of assets and liabilities that we have, we do believe that over a 6 to 12 month period, most of these things to end up neutralizing. Of course, depending on how sharp the movements are, and if there are mismatches in the while the interest rates on funding can come down, but let's say if the asset pricing for whatever reason is depicting a different behavior, I think those elements we will have to see. But just the direction of interest rates in itself may not necessarily have an impact on the margin. I think it will be a function of also, what competitive landscape we see in the loan market and the deposit, because that will also ultimately determine the spread, and the demand and supply will determine whether the spreads compress or expand. So I think that's the response to question number one. The second question was on on the retail. Just in terms of the proportion, I'm not sure, Param, if you've got the information right, but it's not that we are running a very high unsecured book. Yes, although we do admit that the delinquencies that are coming through in recent times, there is about one third of those, 35 to 40% of those are indeed coming from the unsecured book. You would actually go back just see what we've been saying. We've been consistently saying that there are early signs of delinquency on the unsecured side. In fact, we've also consciously slowed down on some of these products over the last 3 to 4 months. So both given the asset quality early indicators as well as our focus on asset quality, our focus on improving profitability, we've recalibrated the retail asset growth. And in fact, this quarter, after the disbursement rates having come down quarter on quarter, is actually, September has been the first quarter where the disbursements in retail actually have been higher than June quarter. So, yeah, I think we are now kind of seeing some improving trends, but we will continue to be watchful in this particular segment.
Perfect. Thank you so much. No, I didn't mean to say unsecured retail is higher. I just, from the perspective that our margins are currently lower and as you said, will improve, the scope to go wrong is a little lower. So that was where I was coming from. But one other thing just, is there the change in mix towards corporate? Does that have any margin implications? That's it from me and congratulations on the quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Bram. I think the mix shift, clearly the yield at which, let's say, corporate operates versus where the retail will operate will have a bearing on the margins. But as I said, at least we are confident that some of the ROAs that we kind of look at on the retail, we do believe that we will be able to drive better margins, not just from a margin standpoint, but let's say from a viewpoint of ultimate ROA. And the second thing, what you have to also keep in mind is we also expect the start of the unwinding of the RIDF book, kind of picking up speed from H2 fiscal 25. Some bit of margins will also start coming in from that. So while the mix recalibration might be a near-term phenomena, for us between wholesale and retail, it's not a structural change that we are talking about. It is more an interim phenomena, and I think we do expect the margins to operate at similar to actually with a positive bias. But again, I'm not giving any other guidance on where the margins will end this financial year.
Perfect, really helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So in the BSE release point 15, subpart 2, that gives the security value realizable bifurcation. Right, that shows that there are a few security receipts which have a value of more than 100%, and then up to 150%. How to read this number? I mean, the outstanding value of SR is 843, which is your value. Is there any mathematical way to understand what could be the potential recovery in absolute amount from this book, or that is not really too much information there?
So if we look at, I'm going to put three numbers here, and again, I think this is something we discussed last time around as well. The book value is about 850 crores. The face value of these security receipts is in the handle of about 3,200 crores. And then there is a fair value which is getting reflected through the rating letters, right? That number, and again, I'm not kind of putting a precise number here. The number that we are looking at is in the range of about 5,000 to 6,000 crores. So I think that's the range that the rating agencies is kind of putting on from a recovery standpoint. And yeah, I think that's something that we're kind of seeing from a recovery prognosis. Of course, I'm not talking about the timing of the recovery. These will happen as they have to happen. But that's the numbers that you can look at.
Okay. Sure. Secondly, when you mentioned that in the waterfall, CET waterfall, that 10 basis point reduction is because of MFI and others. I believe the MFI number, right? I mean, I think you have given of 1 lakh crore of retail assets, retail loans. MFI is 2% only, right? I mean, the IBG number, so is only maybe 2,000 crore roughly MFI exposure. Is that the right understanding, or there is more to it, which is causing that 10 basis point decline?
So, two segments in which we looked at the risk weight going up. One was the MFI, and the other was the way we were for certain product lines, the way we were looking at computing the market value. So there was some minor adjustment that we had to do on the market value. From, let's say, you take a market value versus what is a realizable value, I think this is a concept that we had to use for computing the LTVs. So both of them combined, so MFI and this adjustment in the LTV, which had an implication on the quick, both of these adjustments was, I think, between about 12 to 13 basis points from a CET1 impact standpoint. So if you actually eliminate that, you will actually see that the bank has maintained CET1 despite actually growing, and that's because we work hard on maximizing the rating letters from our customers. It's also a reflection that when we are lending to let's say the corporate and NBFC side, these are some of them are also good quality customers. So it's getting inherently reflected in the risk weight profile as well.
In some media interviews and also I think in the last quarter also. If you can quantify the gross slippages in credit card book, and if I see the growth, right, I mean the PPT says that we have been growing at 45% kind of a number. So how do you look at growth as well as asset quality going ahead?
In terms of, I'll just take the question on the specific number on slippage. We are about 150-160 crores of gross slippage on the credit card book for this quarter. And I'll hand it over to Rajan on the growth.
So, in line with what are the developments in the market, the growth for credit card is going to be trending lower. We would be actually looking at a growth of around 30-34%, and then we'll be watchful of how the proceedings are actually in the market, how the portfolios are shaping up. So I don't think that the 40-50% kind of a growth number is what we are looking for going forward anywhere closer. So this would probably half from the current levels.
So just, sequential growth rate is already, if I just annualize the sequential growth rate, we are already clocking in the 30% range from the 50s. And like Rajan mentioned, we think we will anchor in lower than 30%.
Right. Sir, and last question, I mean, did I hear it correct that RIDF proportion should be coming down to below 5% by March 26?
You heard it correct, except for one minor correction there. It is not March 26, March
27. Okay. And the reason is that incrementally we are not putting any amount in the RIDF, and hence as the book grows and the numerator does not grow, that is how the proportion will come down. Or there is any other way around also.
In options, what you're saying is absolutely right. Yes. Just that, again, minor clarification. At the net level, the book will come down. But just in terms of the gross operation, for some of the just previous non-compliances that we had, even before FY24, there will be some gross money that we will have to park, but the redemptions will be more than the gross money that we are parking. But the good thing is that the new money that we will be parking is actually at a rate of interest which will be higher than the stock yield that we have on the book. So either way, you know, we're looking to improve margins through reduction as well as the rate on the RIDF.
But there could be a change in both numerator as well as denominator. So it is not only overall book is growing, that's why the percentage would come down less than 5%. Stock of RIDF would also start coming because of the repayment.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of M.B. Mahesh from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
So just adding to the previous question again, you said 150 crores was coming from perhaps. Even if you remove this number, the slippage is still running at 4%. Are there any other portfolio? Like, how is the PL doing and any other parts of the portfolio which is additionally passing stress?
If I look at, let's say, the unsecured book, including credit cards, we would, about 1,100 crore slippage, about 35 to 40% unsecured book, including credit cards. So yes, I think there is a PR of the delinquency coming in from personal loans.
Sorry, to ask the question again, did you indicate that the stress has peaked out, or are you saying that it will still run through for a few more quarters?
So in terms of the stress that has peaked right now, we do believe that it will remain in this range for the next couple of quarters, to let it pass by. And again, I'm not kind of working through a precise number, but in the same range.
Sure. And just to clarify, in these borrowers that you are writing off today, that is also the personal loans and credit cards.
The write-off.
And one clarification on the MFI book, how is your portfolio doing, and is that contributing to stress today, or will that contribute at a later point in time?
Opportunity. Congratulations to the management for giving a very good performance. But our equity is too large. 3,000 crores equity shares. 2 rupees fully paid up. So 6,000 crores equity. If you have to pay dividend of 10%, then you have to at least 650 crores will go for dividend. So at least every year we have to double the profit minimum. Then by 2027 we can have an EPS of rupees 3 or 4 rupees. That is the only just, this is not a question, this is just a clarification.
No, I think we are aware of some of these numbers that you're mentioning, Mr. Parekh. As Prashant mentioned earlier, just from a dividend standpoint, for us, we have to maximize the shareholder returns over a, let's say, a longer period of time, right? And you would appreciate that as banks, we also require capital to grow. Just given some of the balancing that we have to do, and then you also mentioned about equity base. But I think feedback taken, like we took from the from the first investor who's been with the bank for more than 4 years. So feedback taken, but we will continue to evaluate this on an ongoing basis, just in terms of our ability and what we believe is in the best interest of our stakeholders.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Kumar from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, Rakesh, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Sir, a couple of questions. Firstly, you know, on the other interest income side, so, you know, there is a quite a lot of acceleration that we have in the first half. So we have, you know, posted close to around 70 crore. This number used to be close to half, you know, around 400 crore, 440 crore. So where is this number coming from? If you can, you know, understand that.
Rakesh, any other question or should we respond to this?
Yes, I have a couple of questions other than this.
Rakesh, sorry to interrupt, but your line is not very clear.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
This is much better. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, so I was asking about the third party system. That has also been a quite a volatility in fourth quarter. So that I wanted to understand. Secondly, write back of provision. So what has happened there? And the tax rate is low. And the lastly, on this asset quality front, as you said just now, that this kind of run rate on the gross delinquency side is here. So just thinking that in the last 4 years, we had an average credit growth of around 7.5%. We had also sold quite a lot of chunks of ARCs. So now, with this kind of credit growth, should we have this kind of asset quality issues even going ahead? So these are the list of questions that I have, you may respond to.
Thank you, Akesh. I think quite a number of questions. I'll try and tackle one by one. So I think the first question was on non-interest income. The volatility that you spoke about in context of third-party business extends to some other segments of fees as well. Typically, you observe materially lower than Q4, and then of course the momentum starts picking up again from Q2. So I would encourage that you do use that lens to begin with when you are looking at the performance of non-interest income. That's one. The second is if you just look at the absolute delta, we have about 200 crores of delta on the non-interest income. In that, about 100 crores is actually from the regular line item. So it's not that all of it is coming from the granular. So treasury, which had across all trading line items, etc., when we kind of sum it up, we've seen about 100 crores of uptick on the treasury. But there are also some gains on sale of bonds plus some IPO mandates in which we ended up making some money. Right? If I look at the core fees, of course there are. Third party has done very well. I would say that we've also seen some industry trends where premium growths have also gone up, and that's also because there are some regulations that are likely to come in from 1st October. So the momentum did kind of pick up or accelerate in H1 because there could be some headwinds that could come in on the way. Incomes get recognized on third party, not material, but yes, some headwinds that could come in. So that's number two. Question on tax rate. So yes, I think there were some tax refunds, which we had to clean up from a tax provision standpoint, and that's the reason the effective tax rate is lower in this quarter. I think we covered non-interest income, we covered tax rate. is there third party get over?
Asset growth rate has been around 7.5%.
Yeah.
And that growth rate still, you still have the asset quality issues going forward.
So I think you have to look at the asset growth rate, I would say, from different perspective, right? I think you have to look at retail, because you know the growth rate in retail, the growth rate in mid-corporate were of a very different magnitude. And of course, there was some of the legacy book that we had in the corporate, which was unwinding. And what we are seeing right now, Rakesh, is that vintages on the retail growth that played out, let's say, between fiscal 22 and 23, those vintages have caught up here with the book, and you know it's also kind of coinciding with the slowing down. So the ratio, therefore, might look elevated for the bank because we've also slowed down the retail denominator. That's number one. And number two, we are not denying or shying away from the fact that there have been over the last 3-4 quarters, we have been working towards making the right interventions to make sure that
it, sir. Got it. Thanks. Thanks a lot for the elaborate response. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rakesh.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Jay Mundra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks again, sir. So first on CASA, right, and SA and CA both, I mean, you've been doing very strong growth. If you have, apart from the usual deepening or engagement related stuff, if you have any other thing which is working out for you, and if you have the blended SA cost for the quarter, if that is available.
Momentum.
So on the SA and CA momentum, I think what has played out for us is that we have been having a very segmented strategy around both these, coupled with the surround area, catchment area penetration, what we have been guiding our field force. But one of the big change what in the CA accounts we have made is first on the turnaround time, which I think is the industry best today. We open approximately 50% of our accounts within 4 hours. And this has not been just, opening of a SA or a CA account. Our approach has been largely to sell the services, which means that a current account customer also needs a CMS. He does need many other allied services from the bank. And we have equipped our sales machinery to be able to render those services rather than selling of the account. So this is one big attribution. The second attribution is on the SA, where we are able to open most of our accounts in 4 minutes. Because of the wow factor involved, we are also able to cross-sell many other products. That leads to a higher PPI, and thereby the active accounts playing out with larger margins. That is the second strategy. Third thing is we have also densified our branches in the last 1 year, wherein we have put adequate resources depending on the catchment area potential, and that has yielded results. So I think this is not just one or two initiatives. There are a series of initiatives what we have taken in terms of a granular growth of the portfolio, which is yielding results and showing the higher numbers on the trajectory. But having said that, one thing which we have been conscious, and if you compare us with many other banks, you would see that our cost of deposit has not moved in line with some of the other banks. So our cost of deposit is limited at 6.1, and that is largely because we have kept our cost under control. We have kept the rates under control, and we have kept it as per with the peer banks. But but not shown any irrational exhibition to going for just the pricing, but rather it is a service-oriented retail expansion strategy, and that is what is playing out for us.
Jay, on just on the SAR rate blended, I think we should be in the 5.7-5.8% range.
And this CASA growth, is it also helped by, because you have very disproportionate share in the, the UPI float. It's fair to say that at least there is some attribution from that business also in the balancing?
No, certainly, Jay. So if you look at the landscape of CASA, right, so clearly savings account is predominantly the retail distribution led the franchise or balances that you see. Of course, the SME and retail also can be done on the current account, right? But on the corporate side, it is predominantly solutioning oriented, and our transaction banking, which is transaction banking platform, which kind of provides the current account offering as well. I think we do. I don't want to sound boastful here, but I think we do a fairly good job of providing the solutioning to our corporate customers. So much so that, we've said this before, we would have a disproportionately higher share, let's say, in fintech-led industry. So the solutioning we provide through the UPI as well, we end up having, the floats in our current account, right? Similarly, we have the solutioning that we provide to a lot of our customers that even let's say we may not have a disproportionately larger share on credit, but they're still wanting to come and bank with us from a cash management or a transaction banking solution. So I think it is a reflection of our, I would say, strength on providing the right solutioning to our set of customers.
Sure. And lastly, we used to give this recovery number and target for the year. Last time we had said around 5,000 odd crores. If you can just update on the, how are you seeing the overall NPA recovery, including NPA, PWF?
So if you look at our recovery run rate for the full year, this quarter, I think we've cumulatively on the NPA pool recovered about 600 crores. And I think a cumulative number would be H1 is about 2600, including the JC Flowers. So I think that trending there continues to be quite strong. I think we will be in the range of about 5,000 crores.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one on your touchtone telephones. The next question is from the line of Dev Bay from Horsepower Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Can you listen my voice?
Yes.
May I ask you, why did the provision gone up? Why did the provision go up from 210 crores to 297 crores? What are the factors that made you to raise the provision?
So we have over the last few quarters working towards improving the PCR. So if you see, the PCR has gone up from 67.6% to 70%, and that in itself translates to about 100 crores of additional provision.
Yes, and my connected question relating to this is, at what percentage point of PCR are you comfortable with? From 70%, how much more you want to increase it to?
So PCR, we believe that 70% is a reasonable level to anchor around. For us, just from an actual recoveries and expected loss standpoint, we do believe that we will have recoveries in the ARC book, which is meaning that I am already running a very significant PCR on that book. So blended PCR, both NP and security receipts is actually higher than 70%. Which, sorry, just to respond specifically to the question, we believe 70% is a reasonable number on the NPA to be anchored around.
Okay, and my last question is, your NII has gone down a bit. If you take the quarter-on-quarter number, around 40 crores to 50 crores, I believe, right?
That's right. So just call out. I know you've gone through the numbers well, sir, but still to call out. So YOY, we've actually normalized 14% growth, which is quite healthy. On a sequential basis, we did have some NP recoveries that were sitting as part of the NII. And also just from an accounting standpoint, there is a dividend that we do get from some of the equity investment that did get accounted in the NII as well. So adjusted for that, actually NII is sequentially higher as well.
And what about your RIDF fund release, 11,000 crore, something like that? Would it be released in the next month?
So that the trending of RIDF reduction is largely concentrated in H2 of this financial year. So we will see a gross redemption of anywhere between 10 to 11,000 crores. But we are, we also believe that there will be some call for new RIDF placements on account of the past non-compliances. So on a net basis, we don't expect 11,000 crores of reduction in the net RIDF book. That net reduction should be in the range of about 5,000 crores.
5,000 crores. And from next year onwards, will you need to invest more in RIDF? I mean, what is the picture you are getting right now? If you say
so, on account of the compliances of fiscal 24 and 25. We don't expect anything material that should come through. But I'll just repeat what we said earlier on the call. At a net level, the book, which is today 11% of our total assets, by fiscal 27, we expect that book to be well below 5% of our total assets, because the absolute value of 44,000 crores will keep reducing quite substantially over the next 2.5 years.
Okay, and your capital adequacy ratio has gone down a bit. Is that because of the change in the risk weightage of the assets?
So the CET1 actually has moved from 13.3% to 13.2%. Like I mentioned, the reduction is because we have applied higher risk weights on the MFI, and there was another product in which we've increased the risk weight. As a consequence, we've consumed about 12 to 13 basis points.
Okay.
Thank you. That was our last question, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Kumar for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank everyone for participating in this conference for our quarter 2 results. Wish you and your family a very happy Deepavali. Thank you.